Bless the Lord, who forgiveth all our sins.
His mercy endureth forever.
God spake these words and said, I am the Lord thy God, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods but me.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not make to thyself any graven image, nor the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor worship them.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Remember that thou keep holy the Sabbath day. Honor thy father and thy mother.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt do no murder.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not covet.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee.
Let us humbly confess our sins unto Almighty God. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against thee in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved thee with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of thy Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us and forgive us, that we may delight in thy will and walk in thy ways, to the glory of thy name. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you absolution and remission of all your sins, true repentance, amendment of life, and the grace and consolation of his Holy Spirit. Be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, whose blessed Son, Jesus Christ, came down from heaven to be the true bread which giveth life to the world, evermore give us this bread, that he may live in us and we in him, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt, and so that place is called Gilgal to this day." While the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on that day. They ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed for this morning is Psalm 32. Please respond by half verse. Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven,
and whose sins put away.
Happy are they to whom the Lord imputes no guilt,
and in whose spirit there is no guile.
While I held my tongue, my bones withered away,
because of my groaning all day long.
For your hand was heavy upon me day and night. Then I acknowledge my sin to you.
And did not conceal my guilt.
I said, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord."
Then you forgave me the guilt of my sin.
Therefore, all the faithful will make their prayers to you in time of trouble.
And the great waters of the flood, they shall not reach them.
You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble.
You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go.
I will guide you with my eye.
Do not be like horse or mule, which have no understanding.
You must be fitted with bit and bridle, or else they will not stay near you.
Great are the tribulations of the wicked.
Let the mercy embraces those who trust in the Lord.
Be glad, you righteous, and rejoice in the Lord.
Shout for joy, all who are true of heart.
A reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. From now on, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So, we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be a sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
All the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I've never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you're always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord. Be seated, please. If I knew only what I've forgotten about the Bible, I would be a walking library of scripture. Oh, sure, every once in a while a synapse fires in my brain and some little shred of familiarity presents itself, but that's rare. I'm just grateful for reference books and for resources on the internet, and that the Bible is written down, and that we have a Book of Common Prayer. Well, for instance, I had forgotten that the parable of the prodigal son appears only in Luke's gospel, not in any of the other three. Another startling piece of news, well, it's news to me because it's been 3 years, is that it comes up only once in our 3-year lectionary on this fourth Sunday in Lent in what we ceremoniously call Year C. We won't read it again until 2025, at least during the Eucharist. That strikes me as odd. Given our familiarity with the story and the powerful point about God's boundless love. In fact, I can give no reliable estimate of the number of times, the number of sermons I've preached and heard on this parable, the number of reflections and meditations I've read, all of this passage in chapter 15 of Luke's gospel. Today, I'd like to approach it first in terms of the actions of the major characters, leaving aside those minor characters whose roles are fleeting, sort of cameo parts, the citizens of the other country, the farmers, slaves, the revelers at the welcome home party, and the pigs that are fed by the prodigal son. Those who top the cast in order of appearance are the father, the younger son, and the older son. So first the father, called simply a man in that first line. He has two sons. Presumably he also has had a wife, though Jesus doesn't mention her. Maybe he's a widower. When the younger son asks him for his share of the property, what would have been his inheritance upon his father's death, he gives it to him. When this younger son returns home after a period of dissolute living, nice phrase, he turns out to greet him and throws his arms around him, kisses him. He calls for the best robe and ring for his son. He calls for a fatted calf to be slain and throws a party for him. He says, "My son was dead and now he's alive." He pleads with his older son to come join the party. When that son complains that the father has never thrown a party for him, he says, "Everything I have is yours," which I suppose is literally true at this point, since the other son has already cashed in his part. Okay, so that's the dad. The younger son, whose entrance is in the second line right away. It's like that murder mystery that you start to watch. You want somebody dead right away. Here's the younger son. His actions. Tells the father he wants to share the property now instead of later. Takes a few days to convert the property to cash and to get his things together. Takes off for a distant country. Once there, he blows all his money on that dissolute living, what his brother called simply prostitutes. Goes hungry, gets a job, not a very good job, feeding pigs. Gets up and goes to his father. On his way, he composes an apology and a plea for work as a hired hand on the family farm. When his father hugs and kisses him, he delivers the speech he has composed, well, part of it. And then he parties with friends and neighbors, courtesy of his father. Okay, that does it action-wise for the title character, a title we've made up, by the way. Prodigal, that word doesn't appear in the text at all in English. Older son, a latecomer in the arc of the story. He comes back to the farmhouse after another day of working in the field. He asks a slave, "What's up?" And the slave brings him up to speed about his brother's return and his father's reaction, including the party. He gets angry and refuses to join the party. He meets his father's entreaties to be a good sport by saying, listen. That's the actual word in the text. I love that. Listen, says, you give this bum a party, and here I am working my fingers and bone for you, and I've never had a party. No dice, I'll stay out here. Thank you very much. I might not have hit every single action item, but I think that summary captures the main points, even when the action is speech, because speaking is action also. Now, motives. Who knows? But I guess a little conjecture doesn't hurt, so long as we remember that we're making up this part. Okay, I'm making up this part. Father, was he always overindulgent with his young son? Was he feeling guilty because he had been the opposite of that in the early part of his son's lives? Had he been a lousy father after his wife's death, presuming she died? Was he maybe glad to be rid of the young son because he'd always been a rebellious, wild child, creating problems for him? Did he feel guilty over taking the older brother for granted? Did he feel even more relief when the young one returned as when he said, he was dead, now he's alive? And maybe I didn't ruin him after all. We can imagine other possible motives, but as I said, they're all pure conjecture. The younger son, well, see above everything I've said. An inveterate, wild child, a kid who couldn't wait to get away from a difficult home life. Someone so committed to partying that he couldn't see beyond the next drink, the next woman. Trying to run away from addiction only to find himself even more in its grip. Don't know. We just don't know. Older son. Was he always a pain in the neck? An earnest, dutiful, joyless follower of rules and his father's wishes? Was he always resentful of his father's attitude toward his brother? Was he just depressingly trudging through his life? Did he love his father so much that he was gutted by feeling taken advantage of? We don't know. One way to reflect on the meaning of this parable in our own lives is to try on each of the characters in turn. That's a good exercise with any parable. How am I, or have I been, like the father, the younger son, the older son? Given the actions of each, can I imagine my own motivations and feelings, even going beyond the conjecture I've presented? Jesus tells this parable in a string of parables. He's been to a dinner party given by one of the Pharisees and is appalled by the guests trying to lord it over each other and by the hypocrisy of paying more attention to the rules and laws of the faith than to the essence of those, the love of God. Specifically, he's responding to comments and questions about the kingdom of God. He's saying in one parable after another, this is what the kingdom of God is like. So, even though it can be a fruitful exercise to imagine ourselves in this story, to look honestly and objectively at our own actions and motivations in life, we need to remember that Jesus means for the parable as a whole to portray the kingdom of God, the very nature of God. God is the loving Father who sweeps aside the foolish, wasteful, immoral actions of the son and rejoices, you're back, while the older son concentrates on what he sees as inequity and injustice. Listen, I'm a hard worker and he's a playboy. The father says, yeah, but he's come back to the bosom of our family. He's back with us where he belongs. Now, like the older brother, we might think that the father's doing a lousy job here. And come on, we all know instances where tough love, or forget that, love, demands some difficult words and actions with our kids. But this isn't about that. This is about God's love. We might think, well, God's not doing such a great job here. This just isn't responsible parenting. And we would be joining a host of other Christians and non-believers, for that matter, in that attitude. And that's precisely, I believe, why Jesus tells this story. And that's why it's a good thing that God is God and we're not. I cast my lot any day with a God who says, look, I know you've been way less than perfect, but welcome home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please stand for the creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's church and the world. Almighty and ever-living God, who in thy holy word has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the truth, with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord. And grant that all who do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. Lord, in thy mercy, give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops and other ministers, especially Michael, our presiding bishop, Andy, Jeff, Hector, and Kay, our bishops, and to Michael, our priest, that they may both by their life and doctrine set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. Lord, in thy mercy.
Hear our prayer.
And to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. Lord, in thy mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We beseech thee also so to rule the hearts of those who bear the authority of government at this and every land, and especially Joseph, our president, that they may lead to wise decisions and right actions for the welfare and peace of the world. Lord, in thy mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Open, O Lord, the eyes of all people to behold thy gracious hand in all thy works, that rejoicing in thy whole creation, they may honor thee with their substance and be fruitful stewards of thy bounty. Lord, in thy mercy.
Hear our prayer.
And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succor all those who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or all other adversity, especially Justin, Emily, John, Sarah, Jim, Ann, Jordan, Chris, RG, Greg, Karen, George, Alan, Carol, Janet, Maureen, Jill, David, John, the Degutierre family, Martha and family, and the people of Ukraine. And with these thy servants who serve in the military, Brian, Trevor, James, Reed, Kevin, Chris, Jared, Brian, Jonathan, Eric, all in harm's way. Lord, in thy mercy. And with all who traveled this week, especially Donna and John Bergman, Jordan, Molly, Jane, and Natalie, and with all those who mourn the deaths of their loved ones. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life, in thy faith and fear, especially Van Gooden, Dean West, Sid Gervais, priest, Joe Lipscomb, Mildred Harris, and all who have died from the coronavirus. Beseeching thee to grant thee continual growth in thy love and service, and to grant us grace so to follow the examples of the Blessed Virgin Mary and all thy saints, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Lord, in thy mercy. We pray in thanksgiving, especially for all who celebrate their birthdays this week, especially Claude Burks, Andrew Bailey, Catherine Drake, and Jim Weathers.
And here I invite your prayers of petition or thanksgiving, either silently or aloud.
Grant these our prayers, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Walk in love as Christ loves us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Oh,
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto our Lord God.
It is meet and right, so is duty.
It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who was in every way tempted as we are, yet did not sin, by whose grace we are able to triumph over every evil and to live no longer unto ourselves, but unto him who died for us and rose again. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and singing. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, for that thou, of thy tender mercy, didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel command us to continue, a perpetual memory of that his precious death and sacrifice until his coming again. For in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it in remembrance of me." Wherefore, O Lord and Heavenly Father, according to the institution of thy dearly beloved Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, we, thy humble servants, do celebrate and make here before thy divine majesty with these thy holy gifts, which we now offer unto thee, the memorial thy Son hath commanded us to make. Having in remembrance his blessed passion and precious death, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, rendering unto thee most hearty thanks for the innumerable benefits procured unto us by the same. And we most humbly beseech thee, O merciful Father, to hear us, and of thy almighty goodness vouchsafe to bless and sanctify with thy word and Holy Spirit these thy gifts and creatures of bread and wine, that we, receiving them according to thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. And we earnestly desire thy fatherly goodness, mercifully to accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that, by the merits and death of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and all thy whole church may obtain remission of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice unto thee, humbly beseeching thee that we and all others who shall be partakers of this holy communion may worthily receive the most precious body and blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ, be filled with thy grace and heavenly benediction, and made one body with him, that he may dwell in us, and we in him. And although we are unworthy through our manifold sins to offer unto thee any sacrifice, yet we beseech thee to accept this our bounden duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Ghost, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ hath taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee for that thou dost feed us in these holy mysteries with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favor and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body. Also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom. And we humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. Look down in mercy, Lord, on thy people gathered here before you, and grant that those whom thou hast nourished by thy word and sacraments may bring forth fruit worthy of repentance through Christ our Lord.
Peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.